Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, a South Dakota lawmaker seeking insight into policy, politics, and public service. State Representative Dan Ahlers was selected to participate in the Emerging Leaders Program. It's an annual seminar sponsored by the State Legislative Leaders Foundation and the University of Virginia Darden School of Business. And he joins us now in the SDPB Sioux Falls studio with a recap. Dan Ahlers, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. And I'm excited to be here.
Tell me a little bit about how you found, do we send someone from Pierre, does someone from Pierre or from South Dakota, I should say, apply for this program every year?
I don't know that we've sent individuals every year. You have to be nominated by your peers, and there are usually two or three of us that get nominated. And then there were 200 applicants overall, I know, this year, and they selected 44 of us to participate out of that 200. So I'm really honored and to have that privilege of going there and being able to interact with colleagues from across the country.
I was looking at some of the things that they ask you to do just to prepare, and it sounds like you had to put a lot of work into just showing up, being ready to learn. How did you get yourself ready for the time in Virginia?
Well, it reminded me a lot of college, and it's pretty much like a college course. We were given three full books to read that we had to read in advance, plus some additional reading materials, short stories, and papers that were written by some of the professors at the university. And then we had to turn in a couple of assignments ahead of time before we got there. Yeah. So there is a lot of work that goes in ahead. It does require you to be committed to it. If you're not committed to it, I mean, you really won't reap the full benefits of a program like this.
What kind of reading? Were there, general thematics? Was it leadership, personal development? How did they want you to prepare to come?
So what's interesting is you have a lot of policy people going to the Darden School of Business. So your professors there are business. So a lot of the leadership comes at a different angle. But it's all really applicable. The books that we had to read were The Second Machine Age, which talks about technology and the change in what we would see as the first machine age, the steam engine, and how fast things changed in that first industrial age to the second machine age that is more digital, and the speed of which things happen, and how do you prepare for that? You know, how do you regulate it? Do you regulate it? Mm-hmm. So that was one of the books that we read. Another one that was more on leadership and style and is What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Mm-hmm. And it's really about the qualities of leadership that get you to a certain point that allow you to become that emerging leader. But the habits, some of the bad habits that we all have that keep us from moving beyond that stage or that level of leadership that we currently hold. So you get some really interesting discussions going.
What did you learn about yourself and your own leadership style, or what was clarified for you that was personal?
Well, I think for me, working in Pierre in the minority, I'm one of 16 Democrats out of 105 legislators. If you want to accomplish anything while you're there, if you really want to serve the people in your district, you have to be able to work across the aisle. Mm-hmm. And the other side of that aisle doesn't have to work with you, especially when the numbers are disparaging. So it's really about the relationships that you build, being able to appreciate where the other side is coming from and teaching you how to work with others. So this program for me was really good at reinforcing things that I've already been doing. And it's encouraging because then you know that you're taking that right path and you're really doing what you need to do to serve the people that elected you.
Yeah, because this is a time in politics where we see a lot of not working across the aisle. And not that this particular day is different than many other days, but in general, that's when we, turn on the TV, that's, listen to the radio, you might hear those stories. And do you think that's When you were there, were you able to also bring that message to other lawmakers in other states to say, you know, in South Dakota, because of how we're, you know, structured and because of the, you know, these numbers that we have, this is how we're doing it and this is how we're being effective at collaborating and ignoring some of those political party designations to solve problems for the state?
Yeah, you know, what was encouraging was that there were others like myself there that are in similar situations from different parties even that have had to work in that type of environment. So it was good to be able to share those stories and know that people at our local level can do this, can make it work. I mean, we are in a time of history where politics is a little more divisive than it has been. It's not like it hasn't happened before, but we're having to work through that cycle again. So being able to work with those individuals and share ideas, the sharing of ideas that we did during this program was a really good experience and a great opportunity. It gives me hope. It helps keep me positive because it's happening in other places, and we're finding ways to move beyond those challenges and that negativity to find real solutions to the problems that each of our states face.
Right. Some of those problems are, you know, or maybe all of those problems are multi-layered and complex. Tell me a little bit about what you learned about creating policy that is, you know, or writing legislation that is effective, that minimizes unintended consequences, or maybe we could even talk about this notion of citizen democracy and, you know, some of the things that come up through the people and then end up in the state house and have to be looked at and evaluated. What did you learn about crafting policy?
Well, from a crafting policy standpoint, being able to listen to all sides of an issue, that importance is really stressed in this program. It's something that I practiced as a legislator to make sure you want to know. I want to know what my opposition thinks. Sometimes we get caught up in our own little world and we see it one way. And I think that when you open yourself up to hearing other ideas, to accepting criticism, you can craft legislation that addresses the issue and creates fewer problems. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the time when we run into issues with our legislation, it's because we're rushing to get something done and we really haven't sat there and gone through the process that allows us to see all the potential pitfalls of working legislation. That book I mentioned before, The Second Machine Age, that's where we got into this discussion of in a digital area, a digital time where things are moving at a much faster pace, how do you regulate that? Yeah. Certainly there are things that we need to do to protect citizens, but you don't want to stymie innovation at the same time. And right. Then, so you're right, it's multi-layered, it's complex. And the great thing about this program is you have the opportunity to sit down and collaborate and lay all these things out. And you can do it in an arena where you're not being judged. You're not, there's no political benefit to posturing. And you can just have an honest and open conversation.
Time and the amount of time when we look at how the state house is structured in South Dakota, citizen legislators, you're in business and then, you know, you have to, and you have families and then you spend a relatively short amount of time in peer. Are there ways to sort of focus the efforts when the session begins that would help have those deeper conversations about issues that really matter? Or do you kind of feel like you're always, you know, swatting the flies of, you know, legislation that probably just doesn't have a lot of legs and is it, you know, what you would maybe consider distractions from those deeper issues?
Well, certainly when you're running for office every 2 years, it does, right. it creates a challenge for any legislator. For new legislators, that first year is just a whirlwind. So you can certainly get into the trap of just right around session time getting in that frame of mind. But I encourage my colleagues, and we do get together and meet even if it's just for coffee, just to find out what each other is working on, to share ideas and to work on legislation year round. That gives us an opportunity to consult other parties that might be impacted by that, whether it's in the business sector or other local government entities that we need to consult with, or nonprofit organizations, other legislators, colleagues from the other side of the aisle. If you work on it year round, I think that you can produce better legislation and come to peer a little more prepared. But it does take a commitment to doing that, right. But I think that in the end, it's been from my standpoint, being able to interact with my constituents year round. Most of the legislation I bring comes from them. I always have things right. that I want to bring, right. but in the end, by the time I get to peer, it's usually the vast majority of the things I bring are things that come at the request of a constituent. So, and they're here year round. They have our constituents have needs and concerns year round. So, you have to make that year round commitment. And I think when you do that, then the things that you produce, the things that come out of peer are much better.
We're doing on SDPB Radio this series of Meet the Candidates as folks who are running for re-election or running for the 2018 South Dakota State election will come in and sort of tell us what some of their issues. And one of the things that seems to come up often is this notion of money. Many candidates have come and spoken about preschool in South Dakota. And when we talk about where the money comes from, often they'll say, you know, the money is there. We just need to look at how we're spending it. We're looking now at, we thought there was going to be a shortage. You know, now we ended the budget year in July for the state with a surplus. You're on the Appropriations Committee. How do you communicate with your constituents to sort of think about this budgetary process and those assertions that, you know, we're making those decisions about where the money goes, and this is an issue of priorities. Is it an issue of priorities? Is the money there, and it's just going to places? Or is it like these are difficult decisions to make with a limited state budget? How do you see that?
Well, we've been able the last couple of years to increase funding because revenues have been increasing. Yeah. The amount that was left over the last couple of years is a combination of money that is not spent or some additional revenues. In the big picture of things, these past 2 years have been pretty similar, but even though it might be 16.8 or 16.9 million, that's not a lot of money in the big picture of what we budget. And it takes one small swing, a couple of bad months for that money to evaporate. To give you an idea of what that $16.9 million will do, it'll pave the highway from on North Cliff, Highway 115 that goes from Sioux Falls to Del Rapids. That's it. Then that money's gone. So it sounds like a lot of money, but when you're looking at a budget like we have in South Dakota, which is a relatively small budget, we have the smallest budget in the nation. Mm. There's only one other state close to us. I believe it's Delaware. Everyone else is nearly double what we are. So we struggle with revenue issues and consistent revenues. And, you know, we do the best that we can with that. That doesn't mean we don't look and try to find efficiencies and savings. I sit on the Lean subcommittee, and that's the purpose of Lean is to find efficiencies in government, how to make it work better, how to get more for the money that we're spending so that we can take our other dollars and other resources and invest those into things that are going to be beneficial. If you're investing in early childhood education now, and working with those kids and getting to them earlier, it's proven that they do better in school all the way through. Most of them go on and get additional degrees. They're more productive throughout life. You know, if you're building an entire state full of citizens that are productive like that and are exposed to that early childhood education, that's fewer people that need Medicaid. That's fewer people on TANF. That's, you know, fewer people in prison. So how we invest is very important, because smart investments today mean savings and lower costs tomorrow.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is State Representative Dan Ahlers, and we're talking about the Emerging Leaders Program, which he was selected to attend this summer for, you know, professional development and policy directions. And what else? Conversations about ethics and transparency must be key right now, dealing with the media, that sort of track. Was that something addressed during the seminar?
Almost our entire second day at the University of Virginia focused on ethics and ethical questions, ethical dilemmas. Perhaps our deepest and most powerful day at that program, where we had to share one of our assignments that we had to turn in ahead of time, were ethical dilemmas that we faced. And many of those were selected, and we went through those scenarios in class, and all of us shared how we would react in those situations. And it soon became clear that these ethical dilemmas that we face on a regular basis, whether it's in business or government or in our personal lives, are very complicated. And the decisions that we make have real ramifications. And it was a real good session, because people who had certainly some strong convictions, but then the next person sitting next to you would point out a scenario where that could cause more problems, and how we handle these situations is very important.
Right. So, not necessarily as easy as it sounds. I mean, a lot of people talk about integrity, but when those personal sort of, you know, challenges come up, you have to take the time to think about things you might not see the angle that's coming that's problematic. How do you continue those kinds of conversations when you come back to South Dakota?
Well, thankfully for me, I get along with most of my colleagues and peer, and I enjoy our conversations. So I don't hesitate to reach out, and if I have a concern, sharing it with a colleague across the aisle. I just took a phone call the other day from one of my Republican colleagues, and he was asking me about a situation and what I thought of it. I mean, we share ideas, and I've tried to build those relationships and not get stuck in just the people that I'm familiar with. But that's my personality. I'm a little more outgoing that way, and I'm not afraid to challenge myself. And in the process, I've made some great friendships. And when you have those types of friendships and connections, those conversations become a lot easier.
Final tips for other candidates, other lawmakers on having these conversations in public, on dealing with the press. Is that something that's an issue in South Dakota, or do you feel like that's not quite the same as the national conversation, relationship between lawmakers and media?
Well, I think it's a matter of perspective again. I appreciate what the media does. I understand that they have a job to do, and the story might not turn out the way I like, but that's the whole thing. I think the most important thing for people to remember, whether you're a candidate or a current legislator, is not to make things personal. Mm. Remember what we're there for. Remember it's not about us, not about our personal gain or our agenda. Because if you're there because of your own agenda, you're really not there for the right reasons. When it all comes down to it, we're there to represent the people in our district. Most of us have been asked by people in our communities to run because they believe in us. We don't need to change who we are then. They want us to run because of who we are. Right. And we need to remember that and really not try to change ourselves and get wrapped up into the partisanship that can happen when you get to these levels of government. And just remember that it's about the people that elected you.
Mm. So overall, you will take some of what you've learned into the next session for sure. Lots for the future of Dan Ahlers and South Dakota then.
Yeah, if I have the privilege to be able to represent District 25 again, absolutely. I will be there hopefully in a leadership position where I can help mentor other legislators and help make our process just a little bit better.
State Representative Dan Ehlers, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.